rewire your anxious brain. Stop overthinking, find calm, and be present. Written by Nick Trenton, narrated by Russell Newton. John Acuff is the author of the bestseller Soundtracks, and he would agree. According to him, the antidote to overthinking isn't more thinking. The antidote is action. You don't think your way out of overthinking. You act your way out. You retire broken soundtracks. You replace them with new ones. You repeat them so often, they become as automatic as the old ones. Those are all actions. What does he mean by soundtracks? Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. Acuff thinks all of us have our own inner mental commentary that's always running in the background of our life, like the soundtrack of a movie. Have you ever noticed how the feel of a movie scene can completely change depending on whether its neutral scenes are accompanied by a laugh track, silence, or scary horror movie music? It's the same, says Acuff, with life. His goal, then, is to help people challenge undermining soundtracks and create new supportive ones. According to Acuff, it isn't a problem to occasionally have negative thoughts. The problem is that we believe everything we think. Later in the book, we'll look at the power of gaining distance from your thoughts and perceptions and not simply taking everything you experience as plain fact. The first step for now, however, is to start paying attention to your soundtrack and noticing what it does for you. Then, become curious about what it would look like to do something else. Here's an example to show just what a difference soundtracks can make. Imagine a movie scene where the main character picks up their mail, only to discover a speeding fine. They pause and look at the letter, then open it to see that it'll cost them $200. Now, picture the same scene but occurring in different movies. In movie one, there's no music. The person looks at the fine, sighs, and puts it on their desk to deal with later. In movie two, there is a low thumping noise that gradually gets louder and louder, ending with some screeching psycho-style violins. In movie three, there's some gentle comedic music with trumpets and a playful upbeat tempo. Can you see how the music choice completely changes the meaning of the scene? Now, imagine that instead of a musical soundtrack, you have a mental one. Movie one, the person tells themselves, "Oh man, that's annoying, but never mind, I'll deal with it when I get home later." Movie two, the person tells themselves, "Yep, typical, no wonder you can't get anywhere in life, the way you keep burning money. You were an idiot, and now you're going to be short this month. And you can bet that it's going to be a pain to try to pay this thing. You know what they're like. What's next? These things always come in threes, so watch out. That stupid car's engine is due to start giving me trouble any day now. I can just feel it. Typical. But then again, why worry about $200, right? You were never going to get a chance to save money anyway. Fine or no fine." Movie three. The person tells themselves, "Oops, a fine. Well, such is life. What are you going to do? It's only $200. Remember, though, that in every scene, the events are precisely the same. The soundtrack, though, can turn neutral events into a drama, a comedy, or a horror. Anytime you overthink or give in to anxiety, it's like dialing up that creepy horror movie music. You know that your soundtrack has a problem if it's getting in the way of what you want, whether that's peace of mind, self-esteem, productivity, or better relationships. Once you identify an unhelpful soundtrack, which is basically the same as repetitive negative self-talk, then you can consciously replace it with one that works for you. And the way to do that? With action. Tip one, ask if your thoughts are true, kind, or helpful. Not all thoughts are created equal. Not everything you think is an accurate reflection of reality. Not every thought is in your best interest. The first step to stopping overthinking is to figure out which thoughts are making you feel bad and get rid of them. You can identify bad soundtracks by asking, is this true? Is this helpful? Is this kind? Only thoughts that pass all three criteria get to earn a space in your head. Let's look at the example of opening a speeding fine in the mail. You might have the thought, yeah, life is just so impossible. Okay, fine. Pause and look at it. It's a natural, totally valid response. We've probably all had this thought at one point or another. But do we really want this kind of thought to expand and take over as the dominant soundtrack to our lives? Probably not. Is it true? Not really. It's a bit dramatic. Life definitely is hard at times, sometimes very hard, but it's not impossible. At least, not just because of a speeding fine. Is it helpful? Well, not at all. It doesn't make it easier for you to find a solution. It doesn't inspire hope or creativity. It's not funny. It doesn't improve your relationships. And it does precisely nothing to help anyone get to any goal they have. Is it kind? Not especially. In fact, in a way, it is unkind to assume that you are completely incapable of managing life. A bit of an insult when you think about it. So this thought fails to meet the standard and fails hard. But you might have another anxiety-provoking thought, such as, speeding is idiotic. You deserve the fine. You could have killed someone. This thought is kind of true, and it is helpful in the sense that it will probably get you to reduce your speed and be a more mindful driver, but it's definitely not kind. You could achieve the same effect by thinking, I was driving faster than I realized, and I know that that can be dangerous. Going forward, I'm going to make an effort to be more aware of my speed. Here's another test you can pass any soundtrack through to see if it's a good one. Mentally repeat the same words to the person you love most in the world, or imagine yourself saying the same thing to an innocent four-year-old. This will quickly highlight any distortions you might have been happy to subject yourself to. Tip 2, flip the soundtrack. The good news is that when you find a negative thought, you can turn it around and use it against itself. One of the best places to do this is when you say things like, I must, or it has to be perfect, or I have to finish the whole thing right now. Once you find these negative noises, just decide to play the opposite over and over to cultivate a completely different frame of mind. I'll never save any money becomes, even if it's just a few dollars here and there, I can save money if I try. The car engine might break becomes, the car engine might not break. You always mess things up becomes, you sometimes do things right. You don't have to change the literal facts of your life. You just have to decide that you're not going to constantly play negative music over it. Tip 3. Borrow soundtracks from those you admire. Other people are another great way to find new music to listen to. For example, Kanye West once said, my life is dope, and I do dope shit. Acuff himself used this one to start seeing his life in a completely different way. If you listen carefully, you may hear snippets of other people's soundtracks. How does it feel to think like they do? Maybe one day you hear someone remark, other people's opinions are not part of my decision-making on this. It strikes you as completely bold, self-assured, and powerful. It turns out that is one possible soundtrack you could play. You might try it on yourself the next time you're stressing out and being a people-pleaser. You repeat the line to yourself in your head and notice the shift in your attitude and anxiety levels. You can borrow soundtracks from wherever you want. You could add to your new thought playlist anything that makes you feel good or is helpful, kind, and true. This is the real power about learning to master your soundtrack. You become the DJ presiding over it all. You are the movie director, and you can decide how you're going to narrate your own life to yourself. Tip 4. Embed your new soundtracks into an item to make them permanent. Remember that action makes the difference. A key lesson from Acuff is to always have something with you that serves as a reminder of your favorite soundtracks. Yes, an actual physical item you can carry in your pocket. To make a positive thought stick, you can pick up an object and use it as a symbol for that positive thought. For example, if you had a good vacation with your family at the beach and you loved the soundtrack you played for those moments, you can pick up a rock at that beach to help you remember that relaxed, in-control state of mind. The next time you're stuck overthinking, all you have to do is grab hold of that rock and remind yourself that you can change the soundtrack. Learning to emotionally recalibrate. If your life was a movie, what genre would it be? Would it be a heartwarming, feel-good romantic comedy? A bleak documentary that makes you want to slit your wrists? A goofy comedy that comes with a hidden message of hope? And in this movie, what character are you playing? The victim? Villain? Savior? Or misunderstood genius? The helpful doormat? The doomed lover? The good thing about being honest about the ruts we get stuck in is that we also give ourselves permission to be something else. Remember that all of this is just habit, and it can be changed. If you've starred as the tortured victim of a nail-biting thriller for as long as you can remember, it'll take time to rewrite the script, but you can. In the previous chapters, we've considered that the anxiety response is both a mental and a physiological response, but it's also an emotional one. Learning to let go of anxiety is a question of changing how you feel about your life, not just the cognitive stories you tell or the physical symptoms you experience. For many anxious people, the deeper emotion behind their worry and overthinking is extremely negative. It's about low self-worth, fear, resentment, insecurity, guilt and shame, overwhelm and exhaustion, sadness, and many more. So when we say, "I'm anxious," it could be concealing a whole tapestry of different emotional threads, which include, "I feel unconfident in my abilities," or, "I feel like I can't trust others to look out for me." When we talk about changing soundtracks, then, it's also about changing how we actually feel, not just the words we're saying to ourselves mentally. If you say, "You've got this, you'll be okay," but you still feel completely overwhelmed and terrified, you haven't changed the soundtrack at all. Perhaps you've kept the same song and just called it something different. Here's an exercise to try. Off the top of your head, think of two goals that you would like to achieve in life, but haven't yet. It doesn't matter if it's a big or small one. Now, look at this goal and carefully notice how it makes you feel to read it. Notice what instantly pops into your mind when you read, for example, "complete a marathon." Listen to the words you use when you speak to yourself, but also how it feels. Become familiar with the fear, self-doubt, whatever. Then try to invert this emotional soundtrack too. What would it feel like to be excited, curious, or confident instead? Let's say Adam is training for a marathon, but he's 67 years old, has a bad knee, and has never exercised in his life. It's a challenge, no doubt. His soundtrack is not the one from the Rocky movies. It's all doom and gloom. "I can't do this. I'm too old. Why did I sign up for this? This was a stupid idea." But Adam stops and notices all this. He reminds himself that this constant running commentary is not a 100% accurate reflection of reality. It's just noises his brain is making at him. That's all. Literally, just electrochemical energy in his brain and nothing else. Once he can see this, versus just listening to it and taking it as gospel, he can start to challenge and question it. He likes to imagine, going on Acuff's advice, that he has a pocket jury that he passes these thoughts over to, and they decide whether the thoughts are true, helpful, and kind. He runs these thoughts one by one through the jury, who all decide that he is being way, way too hard on himself. But he also notices the feeling behind all these thoughts. It's anxiety, yes, but the more Adam gets curious about it, the more he sees that what he is feeling is apprehension. He wants to hope and strive for a big goal, but part of him is unsure because he doesn't know whether he's asking for a bitter disappointment or, worse, embarrassment when those who support him find out he was a loser all along. Just as he notices the thoughts pop up, he detects this queasy feeling that comes along with it. How would he like to feel instead? He set the marathon goal in the first place because he wanted to feel strong, proud, and exhilarated, so he reminds himself of that. The next time he's lacing up his running shoes and feeling that soundtrack start to play, he pauses and reminds himself of a time when he felt strong and proud instead. He takes a few deep breaths and tries to conjure that feeling there and then. It's almost like this memory becomes a figurative beach stone from a vacation that he can pull from his pocket and hold in his hand. And in just the same way that you don't have to believe everything your brain tells you, you don't have to feel every emotion that pops up its head and demands your attention. Adam can choose instead to realize that the difficulty of a marathon is precisely the thing that is going to make him feel proud and strong at the end. Acuff says, "People think a thought is just something that shows up on its own and you have no power. But once you say to yourself, 'I have the permission and the ability to choose what I think during the day, to choose the actions I will take,' that's where it becomes really fun." Summary: the more anxious you feel, the more afraid you are of that experience, and the more you try to avoid it. But this prevents you from learning about how anxiety operates and, therefore, gaining power over it. Anxiety follows a familiar path. 1. Something internal or external triggers a fight-or-flight response. 2. Your brain adapts by finding ways to avoid that stimulus, rightly or wrongly. 3. The reward of temporary relief that reinforces the avoidance mechanism. 4. The inevitable return of heightened anxiety. Familiarity with this cycle allow you to check your response and intervene. Try a body scan and reflect on your process. Typically, we respond to our thoughts about a trigger and not strictly the trigger itself. Reverse the cycle by confronting feared situations without the help of unhealthy coping mechanisms, then trying healthier alternatives. Anxiety is a learned behavior entrenched in habit. Our habit cycles are made of a triggering cue, the behavior itself, and a reward that reinforces it. Slow down and note what your cues and rewards are. Understand your anxiety habits and work with your brain rather than against it, replacing bad habits with better ones. Maintain an attitude of curiosity and compassion, and try to replace negative soundtracks with more positive or neutral ones. Ask if your soundtracks are kind, true, or helpful. And if not, invert them. Or take inspiration from the soundtracks of people you admire. Tell yourself, "I have the permission and the ability to choose what I think during the day and to choose the actions I will take." This has been Rewire Your Anxious Brain. Stop overthinking, find calm, and be present. Written by Nick Trenton, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2023 by Nick Trenton. Production copyright by Nick Trenton.